Fight!
Hey, welcome again to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name is Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode number 38. You might be able to tell in this episode that Kenny is not recording with his regular setup.
Hopefully my audio isn't too much worse than usual, but it ought to be clearly worse.
And I'll EQ it post for sure, but he's not at home. We're having to phone him in. He's on a little vacation, and it's kind of a special vacation.
It absolutely is. This weekend was a really cool one for me. Beyond getting to play a fun retro game, I also got engaged.
Whoa!
Yay, Kenny.
You are engaged to a girl that Nolan and I highly approve of.
So happy for you, June.
I'm pretty pumped.
In fact, if they ever broke up, we would have taken her side easily.
Yeah, you still will, I'm sure. Kenny's spot on the podcast.
She played some video games. Kenny, any wedding plans? Like, this has literally happened.
It's absolutely brand new, so we haven't really planned anything.
Right. Okay, so like, you decided on groomsmen because, you know, I mean, it's whatever.
I haven't thought about it. I mean, a little bit.
Have you decided on the bride?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, all three of us will now be married, and I am so happy for you, Kenny. We will officially be a team, a squad, if you will. In fact, Nolan and I will be your wingmen. We'll be the Pepe Hare and the Falco Lombardi to your Fox McCloud.
So wow. Well,
let's chat about far less significant things than your marriage plans. Star Fox 64.
Overview.
Star Fox 64 is a 1997 Nintendo 64 accessory to the greatest piece of machinery ever created, the Rumble Pack.
I was like, what? You don't like this.
Yes, upon its release, Star Fox 64 came bundled with the glorious Rumble Pack, which heightened the gaming experience tenfold. Did you guys have one?
I did have one that made my wrists hurt because it adds so much weight to your controller.
You know, I have one with my 64 and forgot to, I don't know, either put it in or pack it or whatever. I had to literally bundle up my 64 and like take it with me on vacation and hook it up to a foreign TV and deal with kind of playing with it in that way this week.
This is how committed we are to you guys.
Yeah. So it was a little bit shadier experience than normal. Also, Nintendo 64s, as they age, they get a little janky.
They do.
Explain.
My joystick, it was real loose, you know, like it like wiggles around. And one of my other controllers that I didn't use, one of the buttons was stuck. And so I had to kind of deal with the age of the system. I mean, that's fun and that's part of the experience. And I love when we get to actually play like an old game on the real system on a cartridge. You know, it just feels so much more authentic. So I had a blast with that. But it was a few hiccups, and I didn't get to do the rumble because of that.
Star Fox 64 is not a sequel to the original Star Fox, but a reboot of the original, which came out on the Super Nintendo.
There weren't 63 of them before?
I hope someone thinks that.
Yeah.
This is the 64th Star Fox
game. Star Fox game.
But although it's not the first, and it's certainly not the last, it's probably the most notorious of the entire franchise. It's a 3D scrolling shooter game. So if you could imagine that, and most of it's kind of in this corridor mode where you're going away from the screen. In the center of the screen is your R-Wing, the jet that you control, and you assume control of Fox McCloud, who is an anthropomorphic red fox who is the leader of the Star Fox team, named after himself, I guess, or his father. But he's got a team of wingmen, and they're anthropomorphic as well. So you got Pepe Hare, which is a hare, a rabbit. You've got Falco Lombardi, which is a bird, yeah. And then you've got Slippy Toad, the best of all, a little frog.
Why is who's the best?
Who's the least annoying one for sure?
I'm pretty sure she is supposed to be a he, by the way.
Yeah, because Fox says, all right, boys, let's do this. And she doesn't say, hey. But I'm going to keep calling her her.
She? I hope the whole time it is a she and she's just back there like, what about me?
Yeah, she just keeps quiet.
So most of the game is you in an R-Wing with your crew shooting down baddies and other targets, rescuing teammates and beating bosses. And so that it does change and adapt some, which we'll talk about soon. But it all revolves around a fairly simplistic story. You've heard it before with just different names, but you've got an evil scientist named Andross who is trying to take over and or destroy the Lylat system.
And or destroy. I like that.
Yeah, which is a series of planets, worlds, and that you'll fly to and try to rescue from his henchmen. Andross has supposedly sealed the fate of Fox's father in a previous mission, and now Fox is leading a team on a mission of revenge and rescue for the entire galaxy.
Sounds about right.
Gameplay.
The way Star Fox plays, you mentioned it, but is a little bit like... It's almost like a 3D Galaga is the way I had somebody explain it to me recently, which is actually really cool because you're sort of hanging out in the middle of the screen and there are, you know, enemies flying at you that you're having to shoot down and interact with and move in. Your plane has a couple of different functions. It can shoot sort of a basic laser. You can hold your laser to charge it to shoot sort of a tracking laser ball beam of light. You can get upgraded lasers, and you can also shoot bombs.
Cluster bombs OP.
Yeah, oh, they're so strong. Depending on sort of the mode of the game, there's two different modes. One where you can sort of free fly, like in a 3D environment anywhere, and one that you're sort of moving along a linear path as things are coming towards you and you're interacting with. And In both cases, you can also do a number of moves with your plane. You can slow down, you can speed up, you can flip in a circle. If you're doing like free play, you can flip around backwards and go the way you were coming. You can, of course, do the most classic move of all.
Iconic.
That is the most iconic move for this game. Not ever, because there's other iconic moves like in the world. Yeah, like you can roundhouse kick someone, that's iconic as well, but not in this game.
All right, what is it, Kenny? Peppy Hair says.
Okay, you can do a barrel roll. No, I do a bad impression.
Nolan?
Give me your barrel roll, guys. Come on, do better.
Do a barrel roll.
Nolan is impeccable. I don't doubt him.
I'm Peppy.
He can do any voiceover.
Yeah, like that was kind of impressive.
You're a little scared now? You think I am Peppy, the voice actor?
I mean, I know you're not, like, Peppy, like, as a personality. Anyhow, so you do a bunch of crazy moves, and you fly around, and you try not to die. You collect coins and bombs and weapon upgrades and fly through checkpoints, and pretty basic system overall.
And what I really like about Star Fox 64's gameplay is that you've got bosses at the end of the stages, and it switches from those different modes that Kenny was talking about. So instead of the like linear path, I almost want to call it a side scroller. I mean, it's not from the side, but it's you're continuously moving throughout the level.
Like
you can only
scroller.
Slow down.
Yeah,
it's a forward scroller where you can move around the screen. But when you fight a boss, and not all of them, but a couple of the bosses in the game mode will switch to where it's like a free roam mode, I guess, and you can like make a giant U-turn, and then it'll change your perspective. And like if you go past the boss, for example, and then you need to look at him again, you can turn around, and then it'll change your perspective. And I think that's a really fun mode. I love those boss battles.
The variety of being able to do both the linear and the kind of free flight is nice. It balances out kind of what you're getting to do. There's a few even levels themselves that are in that format, depending on which route you take through the levels.
So speaking of that, the world map, which is really a map of many worlds in the Lylat system, is what you go to in between every single stage. And one of the really cool things about this game is that you get to choose which route you take along that map based on what you do within certain stages.
In the level,
and so, if I understand correctly, there are more easy stages, and there's a kind of a middle route of stages, and then there's a difficult route of stages. Yeah.
So I don't know that the difficulty of the levels themselves equates, but doing more difficult things tends to get you, like the left side tends to be more like unlockable content. You had to do something special to get to play that side. But I don't think the levels are actually more difficult once you're at those level. In fact, some of them I feel like are easier. I ended up taking a kind of meandering route. Like, the first playthrough, I kind of went the typical, like, right way before I remembered how to unlock a few of the other levels, and then really struggled with one of the early levels on sort of the right side of the map. And so tried again and went, you know, unlocked some of those other levels and went kind of left and then into the center, and ended up getting stuck on the stupid lava level that I think is impossible, and dying a lot and then rage quitting.
Nolan, which route did you end up taking?
I took, so Corneria, obviously it's always going to be Corneria. And then
first
I went
stage,
to, yeah, that's mission one. And then mission two, I went to Meteo.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. And then from there, I went to Fortuna. And just, by the way, I think I took probably the easiest path in the game so I could get through it. And then Sector X. And after that, I went to Titania, Bulls, and Easy Venom.
Okay, so you straight up just went the easy route.
Yes.
You went on the southern planets, or southern route.
Yep.
I didn't have a plan going into this. I just do what comes natural for me. In these stages, it's already so chaotic, so I don't have a plan. I just go into it, and then I try to survive, and in that I end up on different things. So I started with Corneria, went to Mateo, then I went to Fortuna, but then after that, somehow I got to Solar, the level that Kenny rage quit on, the lava level, because I was like easy, like fairly difficult, or it might be normal for most people that play this game. But then from there I went to Macbeth, which was also another difficult level.
Oh, that one is hard.
And then I went down to Bulls, and then to Venom. So we all took different routes.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
great. There's so much replayability.
It really is.
So you can just do different paths.
And so many of those have to be like earned by doing something specific in the level, and sometimes those things are challenging. And so I remember replaying this sort of back in the day and wanting to, you know, play every single level and get the medal on the level and make sure everybody survived and, you know, whatever else, kind of do a complete unlock. And when you're being that thorough, especially in some of the more difficult levels, this game takes a lot of work. It's not like a super hard game, but it's not real easy.
It can
either.
Be,
I feel like it hits a real sweet spot.
Yeah.
See, that was a question I had. Do you find this game easy, medium difficulty, or difficult?
I think it's a pretty good balance, like Kenny said. My path was very easy because I took the easy path on purpose. I remember that southern route being pretty straightforward. But I do know that the game can get more difficult if you choose to go a different route and if you can manage to unlock different routes. So I really do feel like it's got a good balance. But my playthrough this week was pretty easy for me.
Yeah, I'd agree. I would say as games go, it leans towards the easier side, at least once you get a sense of mechanics and everything.
Which is interesting, because for me, this game has always been somewhat difficult. As a kid, it was near impossible. But this week, I was able to beat the game, but still with considerable effort. And so I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the fast-paced nature of things, or when there's so much going on a screen that I can't focus on what I'm supposed to be doing. But there's always so much, and not only am I having to worry about my own ship, but a unique feature in this game is you're also having to protect your wingmen that are flying around you. You have to protect them as they're being chased, and if you don't get them in time, you lose them for the next level, and which gives you a severe handicap.
Let's be real, Dustin. Part of it is just the fact that Nolan's better at video games than us.
Yeah, absolutely he is.
No, I have a history of playing the game a lot because I was an N64 fanboy. So I know how to play the game. When I first played the game as a kid, it was definitely really hard.
Well, I'm not a kid anymore, and it's still very hard.
we're kids at heart.
At heart.
Kenny's an actual kid. But Dustin, what you said about your teammates, that's a pretty stressful aspect of the game for me too. Like having to worry about poor Peppy getting blown up. But then what's really cool about this game is that if you save them, like if you shoot some enemies that are on their tail, they will have like a voice response. Like Peppy's like, "Thanks, Fox." And I love that. That's so, like, that makes you feel like you're accomplishing something, that the game is interacting with you like that.
Unless you're the opposite person and you're terrible at the game and you're shooting your own teammates, right, like I do, and then they're always yelling at you like, "Hey, idiot, quit being such a moron."
Same sound bite over and over again. And if I can't clear the enemy ships away and they just chase nonstop, and I hear the same thing over and over again, like, "Help me out, Fox, help me out, Fox, help me out, Fox." It gets annoying after a while.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Kenny and I had a very similar experience, which was very different than your experience. Your experience is conquer, 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 succeed, succeed, succeed. Ours is like, we're killing our friends.
Well, you guys chose to go to Solar. Well, Dustin, you didn't choose, but you went to Solar, and that one's not easy. Oh, okay.
We both just ended up at Solar.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's not very forgiving. And that's what you get.
Before we conclude our gameplay section, I think it would be important to mention that there is a multiplayer function to this game, but most likely none of us got to play, although Kenny had his system, and
I did.
I assume multiple controllers. But
yeah, I had people that could have played, but not a lot of time, and so I needed to get through the single player first.
Well, you had more important things to do this week, whatever.
Absolutely.
But you cannot play the story together, which that's somewhat of a bummer to me. I would love it if you could be the a fox and wingman and play together. But so there are three different modes within multiplayer, and I think you've got to unlock some of these features within the main game itself. But you've got point match, battle royale, and a time travel. Excuse me.
Turtles in Time all over again.
And so it's cool to put you together with friends, but it's not cool that you can't take on Andross together.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's a little disappointing.
It's also worth mentioning there are one or two other unique modes as well. Like if you take certain routes, you'll actually end up playing some land vehicles on a few of the levels instead of flying a ship. And that's different and fun. They did a good job of having variety of kind of how the levels feel, even if the mechanics stay pretty similar.
And in multiplayer, you can also unlock a mode where you're on foot with like a bazooka, but it's really hard to unlock. You have to like beat the hard routes, and each, you know, when you beat a planet, it will have like a rating, and you have to reach a certain amount of enemies killed, and like it's almost like a perfect hard route. But that mode is unlockable, and like Kenny said, the Landmaster is also available in multiplayer eventually.
So at the end of the game, it keeps track of how many enemies you down, and then it's got some kind of multiplier, and then at the end, the mayor, the president, the somebody gives you an award certificate and a financial amount at the end of the game. I only got $40,000 for saving the entire universe, which I think is kind of cheap.
Good work saving the universe. Slim. Here's some money. Like what?
Right. But that does happen at the end. You stamp off, and then you have the credits roll. But you only really successfully conquer the game if you go along the hard route and you defeat the hard venom, the difficult Venom. You may have heard and noticed Nolan earlier say that he did easy Venom. That's because the way to fully beat this game is to do it along the hard route, and that's how you get the grand finale.
Yeah, and that one you have to beat Star Wolf again, and then Andross is different. He is just like he's really creepy looking. It's just eyeballs instead of his normal head. So it's way harder. I avoided that on purpose.
Yeah, I didn't do any of that this run through, but I remember doing all of that process and it being frustratingly difficult.
Aged. All right, so this is where I'm going to start losing friends.
What?
I think this game has, in many ways, aged poorly. Wow. And I'm not even talking about graphics. Like, on the Nintendo 64, you're going to feel some aging in any game you play. But for the time, this was a beautiful experience. Like, flying over water, dodging lava, or as Kenny did, diving into lava.
Uh-huh.
But where I feel it lacks is mechanically. And so I experienced that in frame rate issues. I experienced that in handling the R-Wings, which I'm sure you can become masterful at. Like, Nolan, I'm sure you have got handling the R-Wing down. But being so large and in the center of my screen, I had difficulty seeing what I was shooting at often, unless it was far off in the distance. And I felt like the game, on top of that, was too short. Like, even if you're exploring all the paths, I feel like you can do that in one evening. And then lastly, I guess, I feel like the bosses weren't designed that well. Whereas the levels were, the bosses... Okay, so in most games today, you go from easier boss to more difficult ones. In Star Fox 64, the last boss, for me, was far easier than the rock golem before him. And so the rock golem before him, it took me a good 15 minutes before I realized what I needed to do. I was just following him down this path and losing lives over and over again. For the final boss, I beat him in 45 seconds. Like, okay, so for me, a lot of these issues merge together and cause me to have a lot of people hate me and write in hate mail, but causes me to say that it hasn't aged the best.
That is unexpected. Although I can understand your problems that you had with that. I, on the other hand, think that it aged great. This game was scored by the legendary Koji Kondo, the composer of many, like, all Nintendo games, Ocarina of Time, all the Zeldas, and Mario. So the soundtrack for me was super enjoyable. I love the music after you beat each stage. And then I think the gameplay is super balanced. And I know that you guys found it hard to control the ship at times. I just barrel roll the whole time. And, like, you stay pretty safe. But I think the gameplay is really fun and still holds up. Like, I had just as much enjoyment as I once did playing the game. Where I did feel the age was, Dustin's already mentioned it, was some of the frame rate issues. And this was the case with a lot of old games, really, when you have a lot on the screen. And in this game, you've got a lot going on. You've got a lot of projectiles
Everything at once, and they're moving,
and things are exploding. You have, like, exploding animations going on. And so with all of that, I did run into quite a few frame drop and frame rate issues playing the game. I mean, it quickly corrects itself sometimes it's a little longer, but it's not like it disrupted the enjoyment or the gameplay for me. I was still able to, you know, get past that, look past that, and still have a good time playing the game. So I think, all things considered, it aged pretty well.
I generally agree. I was a little worried this week coming into the game that this was one of those that I have such fond memories of, and especially being a Nintendo 64 title, you know, which have that unique and not especially great graphic feel, despite being kind of fun and iconic. I was afraid I was going to pick it up and just be like really bad at the game and have to totally relearn. And there was some of that. But I was worried it was going to be one of those that I like killed an icon for myself because I, you know, wanted to be doing other things and I was going to pick the game up and it was going to feel like a chore. But I picked it up and started playing, and though I was frustratingly mediocre still, and though there are things that I was like, eh, maybe that could be better, overall, like, it hooked me and I had fun. Like, I was barrel rolling and blowing stuff up, and even when I died on a level, I would, like, want to go back and play it again and beat it and be better. And, I don't know, it was... It had that fun factor for me, which I think is what, to me, is the most important thing about how well a game is aged, is if you can go back and pick it up and just enjoy yourself, you know? And I did. It put a smile on my face, partly, you know, for nostalgia reasons, but partly because, you know, despite some personal preferences and some things that are really good about it and some things that, you know, arguably could be even a little better, like, it's just a fun game. Like, it's one of those kind of games that when I see it, it warms my innards.
Oh, wow.
Disgusting,
okay, so,
bro.
No, so, Kenny, yeah, you just admitted to the nostalgia factor that's coming into play with you. Nolan, yeah. Is that the same with you? Do you have nostalgia, childhood nostalgia attached to this game?
Absolutely. And okay. And that's always the problem that I'll run into. Some of the games I've never played, but, I mean, several of the games that we've played so far, I obviously had a connection to, and that's always hard for me to separate that from me playing it this time and like dictating my review, if you want to call it that, of the game. And it was definitely here this week.
Yeah, and I think it will be for a lot of our viewers too. I think just with the year this came out, the excitement behind the system and the Rumble Pack feature that was coming out, all those things caused the majority of quote unquote gamers to play this game. And so I think there's a lot of nostalgia that has always been attached to this game and games like this game.
Yeah,
that I think factor in. And for some reason, I've never had that nostalgia to this game. And so just as much as nostalgia kicks in to what you're saying good about the game, I guess the lack of nostalgia does kick in to what I have
oh,
said
yeah, like,
and have yet to say negatively about the game.
Personal preference is for sure a big part of everything. You know, like something will resonate with you or it won't. And that's some of what's fun about this process is we get to see each other's opinions and not always agree on stuff. So,
yeah.
I won't murder you yet.
Which, well, you might now. Let's go into our final section and talk about our new Game Plus status.
The final shell shock.
No. You better think. You need to think.
We'll let you go. We'll let you go last, Nolan.
Okay.
So Kenny, how about you go first? Do you give this game your vote for new game plus status, which simply means do you encourage our viewers to pick up a copy? It would be worth playing this game again and enjoying it all over. Kenny, what do you say?
Yes. Not as resounding a yes as some of our games have gotten, but there's a reason. It's iconic, and despite a little bit of aging that shows and some repetition things and some things that'll make you roll your eyes, overall, if you commit to playing it and really trying to play it, I think people will enjoy themselves and have fun.
Dustin, what do you say?
I have given it extensive thought and prayer and consideration. I do not give it my vote for New Game Plus status.
Oh, okay.
I'm not surprised. I can always hear it in your voice.
it's not a bad game by any means. Like, I do think that it gets way too much hype, and I understand we just discussed the nostalgia factor that is huge in some of these retro games, and that is definitely applicable. I don't say neglect that at all. I mean, I nostalgia plays in on games that I have a connection to as well.
And so this
game was many of your favorite game growing up, one of your favorite games of yours, but I just don't think it holds up to the scrutiny of time, and I don't think it's a popular genre.
Dustin, I'll give you this. I will say that relative to the reputation it has, it's probably not as good a game as people recall. I think despite
chill,
that,
y'all need to
I
chill.
Think this,
We're
I think
gonna make a lot of
that,
friends this week.
No. I think despite that, it's still a super fun game. I think it's totally worth picking up. I think, you know, like,
yeah, and I don't,
but I can see that and, you know, fall on the other side of the fence.
All right. So we've got one yes, we've got one no. Nolan, it's up to you. So I want you to think through this, because you could say no, and then New Game Plus will have the credibility
lost all
of,
respect of everyone forever.
Of not giving Star Fox 64 New Game Plus status. Or you could say yes.
I'm not scared. Nolan knows what's up.
He's mad at me.
I'm a little disappointed, but not in the game. In my co-hosts, and my so-called friends. All right, look. Of course, we got two out of three. So it's gonna get our New Game Plus. But So you've talked about the hype that is surrounded in the game, and that's true. There's a lot of bandwagoners, and then there's a lot of hype around the game. It's Star Fox 64. I think, and normally I'm like, well, okay, that's dumb. Just look at the game and see how good it is. I think that in this case, like, I welcome the hype. I think it's awesome. I think it makes the game even better that people regard the game as so amazing. Even though it's not a perfect game by any means, I just love the landmark that it had in gaming. It's Space Animals. In Smash Brothers, Falco and Fox made it to the roster. And actually, Wolf is on the Brawl roster. But they call him Space Animals because, like, I don't know, it's just
awesome.
Space Animals. You think about the plot of the game, and it's animals that talk that are pilots in space. And it's awesome. And so I think that it's an amazing game. And I'm a little mad at Dustin.
Here's my thing. I'm thinking about my opinion. I'm thinking about what I want to play it again. And I personally don't really enjoy the game. But I'm also thinking about other viewers. And I think that if you weren't that kind of, if you weren't a kid / young adult in the late 90s, like if you're born in the 2000 in like the 2000 era and you're listening to this podcast, I don't think that you would enjoy this game going back to it. You know, some
possibly
would, some wouldn't.
But, well, then they can.
Yeah, and so
they can play Star Fox Zero, the Wii U one, if they want to, yeah. And then they can get introduced to it, and then they'll play Star Fox 64 and be like, "Oh my gosh, this is the best game."
Well, either way, this game does get New Game Plus status, New Game Plus certified, because 2 out of 3. So there you go. We're putting Star Fox 64 down in the books for New Game Plus certified.
And all is right in the world.
We received an email from Dallas this week, and he said, New Game Plus certified, done. But seriously, I have no doubt that this game will get all of your New Game Plus certification.
Well, Dallas, let me break some news to you.
Let me read. To me, this game is one of the all-time greats for the N64 system. I just played on the regular difficulty, even though I still have the expert mode unlocked, because I wanted to be able to play every route possible that leads to the final level. This is one of the things that I think makes the game so great with its multiple gameplay paths. I like how it is important to keep your wingmen, Peppy, Falco, and Slippy, alive so that they can give you in-game help. Peppy gives you gameplay advice. Falco will sometimes show you alternative routes through stages. This will help you be able to play all the alternative paths. And Slippy will scan and display the enemy boss's shields. While I was playing, I pictured Kenny being Peppy, giving me advice like do a barrel roll, Dustin being Falco, leading me through the carnage, and Nolan as Slippy, whining for me to help him constantly.
I think he kind of nailed it on the character front.
Nolan's so mad.
That's because Nolan thinks he just got called a girl.
Dallas does laugh, and then he says, sorry, Nolan. And then he says, well, this was another great game. I hope you guys enjoyed revisiting it as much as I did. Have a great week. Nolan, are you still there?
Nolan's double salty now.
He's so done with this podcast.
At a viewer and at Dustin, but for different reasons.
See, I saw Nolan more as Falco. But, you know, to each his own. Gosh. Thanks, Dallas. Jason said, this was one of my top 10 games growing up. I remember playing it on the demo machine in Blockbuster during the summer, and I would hog the machine with a couple of friends. The workers didn't really care as long as we helped them put videos back on the shelves. Good times. Can't wait to play the Wii U version.
So, like, child labor got paid for by this game?
Is the Wii U version the one that you mentioned, Nolan?
Yeah.
How far are you away from the computer now?
He left. He quit the podcast.
Are you laying on the floor?
He's fetal position in a corner. He couldn't handle what Dallas had to say.
Just... Golly. All right. We've got one other email. We got an email sent in from Holden at ngppodcast@gmail.com. He said, oh my goodness. I absolutely loved playing this game. It's absolutely one of my favorites that we have played so far. After struggling through Load Runner and TMNT the past couple of weeks, this game was like a breath of fresh air to me. This game brings me so many memories of when I was a kid, but enough with the reminiscing. The opening scene instantly had me captivated. The mechanics were smooth and felt almost flawless to me. Although I know Nintendo 64 was my favorite console, it still felt natural. I played the game several times and beat it on all three paths. I was even able to have a friend play this game with me, and he loved it as well. However, the voice acting was terrible and cheesy, and Slippy got on my nerves to the point of wishing she would just crash already. But by the end of the game, I was thankful this was this week's game. My least favorite world was Aqua's, but my favorite was the mission where you had to stop the humongous missiles from hitting the ship. All in all, what sold it for me was beating it on hard mode and being able to fly out of Venom by following Fox's father. What? Hey, wait, what?
Things Dustin doesn't know. Now you're going to start liking the game because the story depth just got real.
Actually, some memory is coming back. So Fox's father was still alive, and you find that out if you truly beat the game?
So here's everybody's job this week. Straighten Dustin out on his opinion of the game and on the storyline. To Twitter, viewers.
And renew mine and Nolan's friendship.
Absolutely.
We're going to randomly select a game as we do at the conclusion of most of our episodes. We've got a Retro Master list that you viewers have sent in game suggestions, and only stipulation is that it's older than 15 years of age. We've got a growing list. It's a huge list, and we absolutely love that. Some great games, some not so great games, and everything in between. Any system, 15 years old or older, we're going to randomly select the game that we're going to be playing next. The game that we're going to be playing next is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, the game.
What console?
It is on the Super Nintendo, the Genesis, the Game Boy, and the Game Gear.
Is it weird that I'm excited for this?
You should be excited for this. I'm okay. Pretty sure that I've played it as a kid. It definitely gets my new Game Plus status.
Oh, you...
Do play with us this week. Send us your commentary. We will respond via email or Twitter or Facebook, anything like that. However, due to an adaptation in schedule this week, we won't be able to include your thoughts as a part of our episode next week. We apologize for that, but please still send in your feedback.
Absolutely. Still send in your thoughts. We like hearing from you, or post them to Twitter so that other viewers can see them, or whatever else. But we'll miss being able to air them on air, but still want to hear from you guys.
Find us on Steam. We've got an NGP Steam group. You can search NGP Podcast and you can find us there. Join us, play games with us, talk to us there. Find us on social media, Facebook or Twitter, NGP Podcast. Listen directly on iTunes or SoundCloud, Stitcher, or even the Google Play Store. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first one to get new NGP episodes. Join us next week as we play Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie, the game. Until then, Nolan's Slippy.
I'm Don't know who I am. I'm going to steal your Falco.
And this has been New Game Plus.